Welcome to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. We are currently going through the book of Revelation with Pastor Dave. In today's study, Pastor Dave takes us through Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 3, where we see that Daniel 9 and our study in Revelation chapter 6 gives us insight into the future events of the world. But these texts also give us insight into God's heart for His people and for all mankind. Now let's join Pastor Dave in Revelation chapter 6, starting in verse 3.
Reign, usurp authority, reign and rule over other nations. There's going to be a free-for-all. You look at the devastation of World War I. You look at the devastation of World War II. I don't know if they still teach those things in history class. You go and type in the amount of deaths that have taken place in World War I, World War II. You should see the numbers, the downplay of it. Millions were dead in those wars. Imagine a World War III. Imagine with nuclear powers and nuclear warheads and the missiles that are available today. There's at least 10 countries with nuclear weapons today. We don't know everything, but we know that Russia has them. We know that China has them. France has them. The UK has them. India has them. Pakistan has them. Israel has them. North Korea has them. And it's likely that Saudi Arabia and Iran have them. So you imagine here, several of these countries, first of all, they believe in reincarnation, so they got nothing to lose, right? They believe in reincarnation. They're coming back, so they got nothing to lose. Some of these nations that I just mentioned to you believe that if you die for the cause of Allah, then you go straight to paradise. 70 virgins are waiting for you, so losing is winning. So among these 8 to 10 nations, there's at least 13,000, and that's a conservative number, nuclear warheads. So when it tells you at the conclusion of the Four Horsemen that a quarter of humanity is wiped off the face of the earth, I mean, it's appalling. It's crazy. There's never been anything like this in human history. If we use the number 8 billion people, we're just shy of that right now. And as we said last week, I mean, you talk about perhaps a billion get raptured. We don't know exactly how many get raptured, but I mean, you imagine of a number of 1.5 billion, 2 billion people dead. Crazy, right? It's a false peace. So first, this spirit of Antichrist, the Antichrist himself, I believe, rides in, and his vice is deception. Then the second rider's vice is death. And it's not even necessarily that he's causing death specifically, but rather that nations are rising against nations. Maybe capital punishment is taking place. He's reigning and ruling. Maybe there's this capital punishment that is involved here, certainly international wars. Then he says, as quickly as that's happening, what always follows war, what always follows death in war is famine, destruction of farmland. You can't cultivate the land and grow your crops, and there's famine, right? I mean, this is a very sequential, natural order of events here that flow here from John. Jesus is dictating, John is writing. I want you to know and understand. I don't want you to think now is the time to let your hair down and play with the world and flirt with sin and take church lightly and take Bible reading lightly and one foot in the world, one foot out. Now's not the time. Y'all are living between the 69th and 70th week. And if you're saying, well, what's left to happen? There's nothing left to happen. Just the last person to get saved that's going to be saved, the fullness of the Gentiles. But that's like happening right now as I'm preaching all across the globe. The word's going forth. People are getting saved left and right. So if you're like, well, that never really happens. I led about like 30 people to Christ last Sunday at second service. Whole different service in second. You never know. There's a lot of people that come second that don't know Jesus, it seems, because there's a lot of altar calls that we do in second service. We do it when the Spirit leads. I do them on Wednesday nights, too. So if you're like, well, at least I got, if not, if it doesn't happen second service, maybe I got a whole another 7 days. No, Wednesday nights are crazy in here. I just don't want your blood on my hands. I'm telling you the devastation that's coming scripturally. You consider these things. There used to be MAD, quote unquote, this mutually assured destruction policy. I don't know how many of you remember that. I remember learning about this in high school. I don't know if they still teach these things, where there was this mentality of people who had these nuclear powers, there was this mutual agreement that we don't want to let this out of the bag because countries at least 20 years ago seemed to be more rational than they are now. There doesn't seem to be much of that left today. And these constant tensions among nations, the ambitions of rulers, they're going to have their climax in this period before Christ comes. Jack Van Imp notes that 24, quote unquote, third world nations are now developing, 24 third world nations are now developing long-range ballistic missiles capable of delivering nuclear warheads. I mean, this is not unfathomable. This is very realistic. And he says, as that's happening, then I heard that there was this opening of this third seal, verse 5, and I heard a third beast say, come and see. And I beheld, and lo, a black horse. He that sat on him had a pair of balances in his hand, scales to weigh out, to ration out food. Because after deception, then after death comes this destruction, again, of all the farmland and such to harvest crops and what we need to survive is humanity. So he says there's this black horse that rides in. Him that sat on it had a pair of balances, a scale. It seems that there's this stricter control that's setting in the tribulation of the global economy. We know that's going to happen. And I heard, verse 6, a voice in the midst of the four beasts say, a measure of wheat for a penny and three measures of barley. Barley's less expensive for a penny. And see that you hurt not the oil and the wine, because there's still going to be the rich that are untouched at this point. And we know that. Hey, y'all know that there's people that are buying up farmland in our country. You watch the news, read the news, keep up with what's going on. There's a lot of rich and wealthy people, and I see it as they're not going to be completely touched yet in the beginning part of the first 3.5 years of the tribulation. We know that there's billionaires that are building homes in the side of mountains and securing bomb shelters, and they're going to have their wine. Right? These things speak of the luxuries of life. Those things aren't going to be touched. They're still going to be the rich and wealthy at this point. Just hang tight, though. This is just the beginning. People who say it's not that bad the first 3.5 years. Oh, it's bad. I see a sequential flow through Revelation. When I read through Revelation, you know, real quick before I keep giving it to you, I see from chapter 6 to 19, there's this series of seven things. Seven seals here, six, are given to us. Then this parenthetic chapter that looks back at what was happening. Then the seventh seal opens up and there's seven trumpets. You get through six, you look back parenthetically. And then the seven trumpet sounds brings forth seven vials, and they sum up all of God's wrath and dealing with fallen mankind. So it seems sequential going through. I don't have like a total grasp on all of it. There are things I read and I say, I don't get it. Like in a minute, we're going to see souls get clothed in a white robe. How do you clothe a soul, right? I know you've been wondering those things all morning too. I mean, just I'll tell you, I'm not going to act haughty like I got it all figured out, but the parts that I do, I'm going to preach with dogma and confidence and conviction, because I don't apologize for anything else that I teach that comes from God's word. So I'm not going to do it now. So there's going to be still this preservation, it tells us, just to give you an idea of the scene. Don't touch the luxuries. They're still the rich that we see before us. But listen, how crazy a denarii or a penny is a day's wage for the average working man in this time. He just told you that a loaf of bread is one day's wage. How are you paying your bills? How are you getting your kids medicine? How are you keeping the heat on? How are you doing all these other things? One loaf of bread, he said, is going to be one day's wage. The pair of scales for measuring the weight and the value of the grain, it symbolizes here the severity of this famine, its economic consequences. Perhaps, again, as I said to you, that's going to be what leads us into the stricter control of the global economy. Maybe there's this enhancement of the Antichrist power over the world's population by the imposition of his mark, the mark of the beast. So at least if you scoff at these things now and you think it's crazy, your parents dragged you here, your girl dragged you here, your husband made you come, at least you could have some knowledge so that when these events happen and we're not here, you could at least say, I remember Pastor Dave talking about this. I'm serious. You come here, you take all of the books out of the bookstore, the Bibles. I got a bunch of Bibles in my office. Take them. Because this is serious. I mean, there's going to be some type of imposition of his mark here. Perhaps this is when it starts. I mean, famine is the thing that follows war naturally. And, you know, it's not necessarily that it's going to be that everybody dies of starvation, but certainly it's going to be a contributing factor to the deaths that are spoken of. The United States right now keeps a one-year reserve of grain on hand. That would go awfully fast. I got all other sorts of stats, but time is going too fast. So you get the gist here of what he's saying. Deception, death, destruction, and then the fourth horseman will usher in disease. Because they're all interrelated. Wave upon wave upon wave. And verse 7, when he had opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth beast say, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. It's where we get our word chlorine from. It's this gaunt, colorless, greenish, yellow, pale look of death. You know when someone's about to puke? Someone's about to hurl, the color disappears from their face. You get away from them and you give them a basket as quick as you can. You turn their face away. The kid comes and tells you, Mom, I'm going to puke. Dad, I'm going to puke. Okay, push their face right away because it's going to go all over you. There's this yellowish, greenish, pale, lifeless, gaunt look to them. That's the next horseman that comes in here speaking of disease. And he says, and I looked and behold this pale horse and his name that sat on him was Death and Hell. How about that for a name? Death, what happens to the physical bodies? Hell, what happens to the souls? He says, they followed him and power was given unto him over the fourth part of the earth, to kill with the sword, to kill with hunger, and with death. And then it says something here that I don't quite know what to do with. And with the beast of the earth. Like, what's going to happen to dogs when dogs don't get fed? The animals that we love and adore that are tamed right now because they're fed. But if there's famine and we could barely even feed ourselves, what's going to happen to them? There's a contribution on their end where, you know, people say, do dogs go to heaven? I don't know if dogs go to heaven. I know cats don't go. They make my eyes itch so bad. But I know that they're going to be contributing here, the beast of the earth, with the destruction of man. You think about these things. I mean, we're living in the middle of a global pandemic. It's made it quite easy in that regard to preach this narrative to you. And honestly, and I know that some people get very touchy with this, but compared to the Spanish flu, the bubonic plague, what are the numbers right now globally? 500,000 in nation? Does anyone know? What are we at? None of you know. Second survey. You guys lost an hour of sleep. You deserve just a rest right now. Forgive me for even pulling you in. World War I, the Spanish flu ended the war. More people died from the Spanish flu than war itself. I remember reading stories in school and revisiting it in preparation for this message. There are those who had symptoms at breakfast and were dead by dinner with the Spanish flu. I mean, just a crazy time period, World War I. The bubonic plague killed a third of the population of Europe, carried by rats. The word disease in the Hebrew in the Old Testament is actually a word that speaks of infectious diseases transferred from animals to humans. Isn't that sort of interesting? The four horsemen, deception, death, destruction, disease, wave upon wave upon wave. We see them right now. Jesus said, when you see these things begin to happen, lift up your head, your redemption draws nigh. Luke 21, Matthew 24. It's in Mark 13. It's in the Olivet Discourse, the heralding of these things. He breaks it into the prelude, the Braxton Hicks, and then the Great Tribulation. These things that are before us in chapter 6 and 19 is without restraint. You see the devastation right now of these things, but you see it with restraint. The Holy Spirit is here. The church is here. The salt and light of the world is in operation. I'm performing right now as a conduit of his love, giving out salt and light to all of you. And then you take it and you give it out there. It's happening. God's Spirit is moving powerfully right now. This is with restraint. Wait till dictators and godless men have this free reign. Wait and see what humanity will do. It tells you a quarter will be wiped off the face of the earth. I believe all children will be gone at this point. Not just Christian families, but I believe all children that haven't reached the age of accountability that is clearly spoken of in Scripture. I do not have the time to get into it with you, but if you want to go study it, Deuteronomy chapter 1, David in his prayer of his child that was sick, I will go to be with him again. Jesus said, for such, we just learned this in Mark's gospel, for such little children is the kingdom of God. Paul said, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, distinguishing that there's a difference. And then when I became a man, I put away foolish, childish things. For the Jewish people, at the age of 13, that's when boys became men, their bar mitzvah. That's when their father said to God, no longer is my child accountable to me, but he's accountable to you. And that child repeated and said, no longer am I accountable to you, Dad, I'm accountable to God. There's this ownership of actions at 13. Can you imagine 13-year-old American boys today? For the Greeks and for the Romans, it was around the age of 16. I think it's different per person. I think God in his grace and knowledge, I don't think I know, in his grace and his knowledge, he knows what the age is. So I believe all of children will be gone. Every people group, all kids will be gone. The church is gone. The restraining work of the Holy Spirit is lifted. These things are taking place. Wow. And then the fifth seal is opened. And I saw under the altar, verse 9, the souls of them that were slain for the word of God and the testimony which they had held. Why did they die? What happened to them? For the word of God and the testimony which they had held. Who are these? Is this us? No, it's not us. We're already raptured. We already got our glorified bodies. We're already standing around the throne of the Lamb, singing praises to him. This isn't us. It's those who were martyred in the tribulation. It's those who, when they had presented to them the deception of the Antichrist or the gospel of Jesus Christ, they chose the gospel of Jesus Christ. And how I know that emphatically is because what it will tell us in chapter 7 next week. I'll give it to you now so you can go read it, verse 13 and verse 14. But it tells us who they are clearly in chapter 7. These are those who believe the gospel from the 144,000, the two witnesses, your Bible that you left behind. Seriously, our Bibles don't go with us when we get raptured. I write notes in my Bible. I mean, I underline things that I want my loved ones who don't know Christ, should they not get saved, to really hone into and look at. Our Bibles are going to be left, and people are going to get saved. There's going to be an angel that flies across the heavens that heralds the gospel. He's still going to be saving people. Multitudes upon multitudes. But listen, here's the thing. You don't want to wait to get saved till then. And if you think you'll be okay, you just will do whatever you got to do to get saved, the deception is going to be so much greater than it is now. So if you think it's hard now to be a Christian, I mean, it's unimaginable what it will be like in this period of time. But these souls are not, you know, you hear people talk about soul sleeping. There's no soul sleeping. Okay, they're not under the ground, but they're under the altar, it says. That's where the Old Testament sacrifices blood used to be presented. That's where they are. Their conscience, they have a memory. People ask me about that. My son was asking me yesterday, Dad, in heaven, well, I know certain things. They have a memory. I don't know everything that we'll know, but certainly there'll be things that we remember because they cry in verse 10 with a loud voice saying, how long, O Lord, holy and true, do you not judge and avenge our blood on them that dwell the earth? They understand these things, but they're not looking for personal revengeance. They're looking for the next set of events to happen so it ushers in the kingdom of God. Y'all with me? That's what they're after here. When are you going to enact the next set of events that will usher in your kingdom? And white robes were given unto every one of them, and it was said unto them that they should rest for a little season, because for God it's just a little season. Your season, my season, our season, if I could edify you as your pastor, they're just little seasons. In the big scheme of eternity, they're just little seasons. Until their fellow servants, middle verse 11, also and their brethren that should be killed as they were should be fulfilled. Listen to what he just told them. Guys, none of these things are outside of my control. All these events that are spiraling, as it seems, out of control, they're not. It's all planned by the Lord. That's why he delays his coming. That's why he's not yet come. Well, if the Lord's really, you know, why didn't he come? Because he is slow to anger and he's abundant in mercy. He desires that none perish but all come to everlasting life. He's slow in that response. And it's so that there could be more and more salvation, but there is this control here. There's this sovereignty on display. There's a broader program for us too this morning. You can personalize this at this point if you need edification. There's a broader program than what we can just see with our human eyes. Even these souls that are under the altar need that reminder. Jesus says, there's a broader program. Things that I have to accomplish are not yet fulfilled. So now, the sixth seal, and then we'll close. Verse 12 down to verse 17. Listen, the sixth seal, write this down if you're a note taker, is the great equalizer. Remember I told you? The wine, the oil, don't touch those things. The rich, still, they're intact at that point. Not anymore. No, and it happened quickly. It didn't last very long. The scene now goes back up into heaven. We were on earth for quite some time. We were in heaven, came to earth. Now we're going up to heaven with John the Revelator. He says, and I beheld, verse 12, and when he had opened the sixth seal, and lo, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black, as sackcloth of hair. Sackcloth is a garment of despair in Scripture. It's interesting here, the poetry that's on display. The sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became as blood, and the stars of heaven fell into the earth. I don't think this is a literal star, because one star would...
That concludes our message for today here on Lost and Found. Join us next time as we continue our verse-by-verse study through God's Word. During this unprecedented time in our nation, we are adhering to the guidelines set up by our government to be able to conduct services while still keeping our fellowship as safe as possible. If you would like to know how to attend a service or any other news here at the church, we would encourage you to go to Instagram, Facebook, and ccwestside.com. to find out more about what is going on currently at the church. If you are unable to attend a service, we will be continuing to live stream our services so you can be blessed in the comfort of your own home. If you do not have access to social media, we would encourage you to call the church office and someone will be happy to answer any questions you may have. Our phone number is 585-352-3150. That's 585-352-3150. Thank you for listening to Lost and Found, a radio ministry of Calvary Chapel Westside. Join us next time as we continue our study through God's Word. In Luke 19:10, it says, "For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost." It's our prayer at CC Westside that you have found the only pathway that leads to an abundant life, found only in Jesus Christ.